But first, the Center for Global Development is warning the Philippines not to become another Haiti. The Washington, D.C.-based think tank, which carries out independent research for global prosperity, reckons that those carrying out reconstruction in efforts in the Philippines need to learn from previous disasters like the Haiti earthquake in 2010. 4 years after that devastating earthquake, an estimated 400,000 are still living in tents. I'll be talking in just a sec to Vidya Ramachandran, who's a senior fellow in the Center for Global Development. She's on the line from Washington, D.C. Also joining us is Ricky Carandang, spokesman for the Philippine President Aquino. The president's well known for being very hands-on during a crisis, and he recently visited the hardest hit areas to ensure the smooth distribution of relief goods. Ricky's on the blow from the Philippines. I welcome you both. Ricky, you've been traveling with the president to the worst affected provinces. The logistic problems you're facing must be unimaginable.
Well, good evening, Philip. And yes, they have been very difficult to overcome. If you notice, the criticism about the response was that it was slow in the first 3 or 4 days. And we concede that. But the problem with the response in the first 3 or 4 days was that we simply had no logistics. All of the roads were blocked. The airport was closed. The seaports were closed. The first responders were either injured or dead. And so before we could get any food aid out to anyone, we really had to clear the roads and open the access. And that did take some time, given that there was a lack of equipment. Most of it had to be flown in from outside of Tacloban. But once that was done, we did manage to get the food aid out there. We certainly haven't done enough, and we certainly need to do more. But at least the food aid is out there. It's flowing to all the municipalities that have been affected.
There's some very pragmatic decisions being made here. I've just been reading an article on New Matilda in Australia about the disaster response organization, headed by a former general with expertise in pretty tough counterinsurgency campaigns.
Well, pragmatic in what sense do you mean?
Well, he doesn't sound like the ideal choice.
Oh, you mean the head of our disaster response here in Manila?
Yeah.
In the Philippines?
Yeah.
Well, most of the people who have run the disaster response group have come from have had a military background, and they've had a logistics background, and the idea there is that they should be able to mobilize resources properly and more efficiently. And normally that has been the case. I mean, the Philippines is visited by over 20 typhoons every year, and we've done a pretty good job in responding to them. But the scale of this was just off the charts. And it was just greater than anything we've ever dealt with. So certainly we've had some problems with that. But pragmatically,
we do the same thing here, Ricky. If there's a crisis, in comes an ex-general. I won't dwell on it. Vijay, your recent blog post demanding donor transparency in the Philippines went viral. What are you calling for?
Good evening, Philip. Thank you for having me on the show. We really are concerned about donor transparency given what happened in Haiti. Donors spent a huge amount of money in Haiti. I think a total of $6 billion in government-to-government funds were dispersed. And 4 years after the quake, it's very hard to tell what happened to this money and where it went and how many Haitians were helped and what services were delivered. It's very difficult to tell, and it's very hard to see what the benefits of all this money was, because the capital of Haiti, Port-au-Prince, still doesn't have functioning roads or, proper electricity and things like that. So we wrote this blog post that I think almost 100,000 people read, mostly in the Philippines, and the Philippine diaspora overseas also was very interested in it, to learn from that experience and to make sure that the Philippine government and the Philippine people demand transparency from all of the donors, all of the non-governmental organizations that are working in the Philippines.
Well, let's go back to Ricky, because clearly you're anticipating this as an issue, and you've launched a foreign aid information transparency hub known as FAITH. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, in response exactly to those concerns, and we've heard about concerns in Haiti and other countries where the aid hasn't been fully reported out, so people don't really know where it goes. And we think it's very important that in terms of maintaining confidence of the donor community and making sure that the funds keep flowing when they're necessary, is we need to be able to tell people without any doubt where the money is going. And so the website, faith, www.gov.ph/faith, documents all the aid pledges that have come in from different agencies and countries and tells you where we intend to spend them. And as these funds are spent, we have pledged to be transparent about where these funds are going to be going and to have an accounting for them. So we're hoping that that's going to address those concerns.
I should also remind the listener that this sort of transparency was conspicuously absent in the response to Katrina. Money does sort of evaporate. Vijay, you're not urging, or you're urging people not to help the Philippines like we helped Haiti. Are you suggesting that food or monetary aid be withheld until this is sorted out?
Oh, not at all. I think that it's very, very essential that those supplies get to where they're needed. And I think the Philippine government has undertaken a massive effort to overcome very, very difficult obstacles to get the food and medical supplies out to where people need it. You know, I am urging people who are giving money and people in rich countries that are sending money, including through non-governmental organizations, I'm urging the foreign governments that are donating money to be transparent on their side. You know, I want to congratulate the Philippine government for FAITH. I think it's a really good idea, and the site is very easy to use, and it's very easy to see what money is being received. But more can be done on the side of the sending agencies. You know, I think they have the obligation to report in quite a bit of detail what they're doing so that we don't see waste or duplication or, as you mentioned, the evaporation of funds. There's much more that can be done on our side.
Ricky, I'm not looking for trouble here, but according to Al Jazeera, local pollies are wasting valuable time and days repackaging relief items with their names, their campaign slogans, their party colours. Have you seen this happening?
Philip, we have seen anecdotal evidence of this happening in some municipalities. And certainly not something that we condone, and it's something that we've done our very best to prevent. When we have gotten reports of this, we have referred them to the local authorities to investigate. There is actually a law in the Philippines that prevents you from repackaging them and claiming credit for goods that you did not produce. And we fully expect that if there are documented cases of this, that we will prosecute these cases.
Ricky, you are observing a great lift in morale of your people?
At this point, it's difficult to say. I mean, if you had your house destroyed and your family killed and your source of livelihood gone, certainly people are going to be disheartened by that. And we're still seeing that. But we are seeing in other places, in some places, people are getting together and saying, look, we have to do something to get out of this. And so it's really a mixed bag. There are some areas where the devastation is so bad and people just feel so lost and disheartened. But there are other places that have been hit that where we're seeing a revival of this community spirit. So it's not a blanket statement that everyone is the morale is down or the morale is up. It's different everywhere you go.
Ricky, how are the NGOs currently working in the Philippines? Are they interacting successfully?
I think for the most part they are, particularly the large international NGOs that have had experience in this. They know what to do, they know who to talk to, and they know how to coordinate. There are a lot of small groups that have arisen specifically to help people who have been affected by this typhoon. They're less experienced, they have fewer resources, and they need a little bit more guidance. They've been talking to the larger NGOs, and they've been giving them a bit of a hand to some extent. But I would think that in the future, as these groups grow and as they take on more tasks, that they would learn also from the experiences of the larger NGOs.
Vijay, back to Haiti, I understand that they've only received 1% of humanitarian aid, and after 4 years, you know, after the earthquake, there's very little to show on the ground. To what extent were local government and civil society largely bypassed by foreign organizations?
You know, that was one of my biggest concerns with Haiti. They were almost entirely bypassed, local governments, the government, what was left of the government in Port-au-Prince. The money went almost entirely to large international NGOs, to private contractors providing development services. And these organizations did a very poor job in reporting what happened to the money. You know, so in the U.S. case, it was about $3 billion that was dispersed primarily to these large foreign players that went to Haiti and started to deliver services. And it's just very hard to tell. You cannot track the money. You can't track it on their websites. You cannot track it on the international reporting platforms such as the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. They have something called the Financial Tracking Service. These things were poorly used. And, you know, my concern is that this does not get repeated in the Philippines. I think, you know, the Philippines has much more capacity. It has very good local government and central government, and it wasn't as devastated in some sense as Haiti. In the case of Haiti, almost the entire government was wiped out in the earthquake. But nonetheless, you know, the NGOs, the private contractors, the foreign players all now have new tools. They have easy-to-use websites where they can report their data. And we still don't see enough of that. We still
We've got to wrap it. I've got overwhelming time problems now. Ricky Carandang is Communications Secretary to the President of the Philippines. And Vijaya Ramachandran is Senior Fellow at the Center for Global Development. Ricky, our thoughts are with you. Coming up, we look at how PNG is looking to take a new place in Asia. LNL on RN.